Oh, yes, that's...
No, what she was talking about earlier is that the board will go in and actually come out, and go in and come out.
So what post number are we starting?
Not just going right.
I think they're going to give the attorney, right, so 89 or 93.
Yeah, put a little...
Sure, all of those...
Yeah, so it'll be this one.
Yes.
Wow, you brought so many.
Yep.
Well, I wanted everybody...
When that happens, I live here, don't be alarmed.
And what?
Wait, chocolate chips in there too.
The name behind the number, I guess.
Well, I know you love white things.
It's a little...
I'm an equal opportunity eater.
What? No, you just have like mixed things.
That's false.
I don't know what you're saying.
He doesn't want food touching each other.
Yeah, you know, there's white chocolate chips, dark chocolate chips. He needs to know that.
What is she saying? She's there, so...
We can keep the comments.
We're missing a couple.
The culinary palate of the six-year-old, yeah.
Oh, my macaroni is touching my...
Oh, Sean's waiting to get in.
I had three plates for that. Separated out.
Yeah.
Everyone in there.
Your bread is delicious as always, honey.
Oh.
Thank you.
Homemade.
Okay.
Homegrown. Are you an organic farmer?
No.
No. Too hard.
Well, there's truly no benefit.
Oh.
Yeah, it's amazing what they have to go through to be organic.
So once we are back, we're going to go through a brief process of identifying the different folks that have come in online and via phone. And we'll be starting with case number 89 of John Weddle, chair of Lane County School District. So I know that we have, I think, several people from the Lane County School District that will be joining this specifically.
Okay, so I'll let the attorney in initially. Do you want me to do that now? Okay.
And the attorney is?
Nancy Hungerford.
Hungerford.
Okay, so here we go with the attorney, and then we'll go through and verify the...
Okay. Ms. Hungerford, welcome.
Welcome, and thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Yeah, and then we're going to go through and identify some of the other folks that are calling in, and one by one, because can they be all be part of the same case? I mean, are we letting everybody in at this point? Yeah.
Oh,
they have an attorney in common, so
should we ask Josh or Nasty?
I think in the past, as long as they've all consented to each other being in the room, it's fine.
Yeah, I'm represented by same counsel.
Monica?
Yes?
The guy named Bruce, I believe, is for the Harvey case.
Okay, thank you. I was trying to figure out who that was. Thank you.
Oh, Bruce Nichols. Oh.
Okay, so are we ready to ask who Anonymous is? I'll start with that one.
Okay, yep, we'll start there.
Okay.
Hi, welcome to the Oregon government.
Is now joining.
Hello, can you please identify yourself?
This is Nancy Hungerford. I am on in the meeting, and with the other folks from the school board and the school district administration who are present and want to be admitted, please identify themselves.
Kevin Martin, Oak Ridge School Board. I'm on the phone.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay.
All
thank
right.
you, Kevin.
Next, we'll admit.
Unknown participant is now joining.
Hello, can you identify yourself?
That would be 1600. Last digits of the phone number is 1600.
Last digits of this number of 1600. Can you identify yourself to the Oregon Government Ethics Commission?
This is Tammy Edmond, board member for Oak Ridge School District.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next number is going to be 1015.
Okay.
It'll speak and then...
Unknown participant is now joining.
Hi, this is the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. Can you identify yourself? Last four digits of your phone number, what was that?
1015.
Oh, 1015?
I'm not sure who I the last four digits. This is Rita Dolan, superintendent of the Oak Ridge School District.
The
last four digits should be 5600.
Oh, that's Wayne County.
She's a superintendent. She's not named in the
confirmation. Okay.
Hello.
Come up.
I think that's up to the people, the complainants, if they want to be in there. Okay.
I would say pull them out.
So,
based on the director.
Okay, so I would need to, is this the number here? It won't show me the number unless I, let's see, can I click on it?
You can also scroll down on the attendee side.
Gotcha. 10:15. Yep, so we will remove that individual from the meeting.
Unknown participant is now exiting.
All right, and back up to the top. 2525 is going to be the last four digits. 2525.
Unknown participant is now joining.
Hi, welcome to the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. The last four digits of your phone number, 2525.
Mm-hmm.
Can you identify yourself? Or whoever it was that...
Hello, this is Bruce Nichols.
All right, just a moment. 2525 right here. I will be removing that individual from the meeting.
Unknown participant is now exiting.
All right, so let's do 8300 will be the next one, and that's the last one that we have.
We have
67.
Unknown participant is now joining.
Yeah.
What was that phone number?
8300.
Hello, welcome to the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. Last four digits of your phone number, 8300. Can you identify yourself for the commission?
Hi, my name is Michael McPherson.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we're good.
Okay, it looks like we have all participants ready to go. We'll start off with a staff report and then give Ms. Hungerford an opportunity after the report. Thank you.
Thank you. Chair Mason.
I'm sorry. I'm just curious from Ms. Hungerford. All your clients are agreeable in executive session to hear all the cases at the same time. Is that correct?
To my knowledge, yes.
Okay, thank you. Just want to make sure that
looks good.
Yes.
Thank you.
Good catch.
Thank you. Chair Mason and commissioners, again, for the record, I'm Lisa Kristen. I'm an investigator with the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. Before you are the matters of John Weddle, Lane County School District number 76 is the jurisdiction, and the case number is 21075 XLC, page 415 in your meeting book, item 89. The second case is Susan Hardy, also Lane County School District number 76, 21-076 XLC. Third case is Tammy Edmonds, Lane County School District number 76, case number 21-077 XLC. The next case would be Kevin Martin, Lane County School District number 76. That's case number 21-078 XLC. And finally, we have Michael McPherson, Lane County School District number 76, which is case number 21-079 XLC. Those are in your meeting books from pages 415 through 471. Respondents are members of the Lane County School District number 76 Board of Directors, that is also known as Oak Ridge School District. For clarity's sake, I consistently refer to it as Lane County School District 76. They are public officials as defined in ORS 244-02015 during the period relevant to this preliminary review. Complaints specifically allege that respondents participated in several executive sessions of the Lane County School Board 76 School Board, during which violations of ORS 192-660 occurred. There are three executive session meetings which appear to be subject to an analysis of whether the strictures of 192.660 were properly followed. Those held on December 14th, 2020, December 28th, 2020, and January 11th, 2021. I should note that when you read the report, you'll see that there was some other additional information that was not relevant to anything within the jurisdiction of the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. So what will be addressed would be those three meetings where executive sessions apparently were held. The minutes of the December 14th, 2020 public meeting reflect that the basis for the executive session at that meeting was ORS 192.660, subsection 2, subsection D, which permits governing bodies to address labor negotiations with persons designated by the governing body to carry on labor negotiations. The regular meeting minutes further indicate that attorney Nancy Hungerford spoke during executive session about a complaint regarding the superintendent and the investigation procedure regarding the complaint. The notation in the public record, public minutes were, or was, reviewed complaints made regarding employment-related performance and gave recommendations. As such, there may not have been a proper basis announced for that meeting, given that subjects beyond the statutory authority provided appear to have been discussed. The December 28, 2020 and January 11, 2021 executive sessions were convened under statutory provisions ORS 192.660, subsection 2D, which permits governing bodies, again, to address labor negotiations with persons designated to do same, and two, subsection 2I, which permits governing bodies to review and evaluate the employment-related performance of the chief executive officer of any public body, a public officer, employee, or staff member who does not request an open hearing. Public meeting notices appear to comport with the outline of what was discussed at those sessions contained in the public meeting minutes. The minutes, however, of the actual executive sessions were not made available to the Commission during preliminary review. It should be noted that I did receive copies of minutes. Let me back up. The preliminary report, you'll note, does contain copies of the public meeting minutes of each meeting at which an executive session was held as referenced. Those minutes were obtained from the website. I was able to pull down the board minutes from the website for that school district. I discussed with Nancy Hungerford the need for the executive session minutes. She did supply, through a school district secretary, copies of minutes, but I need to point out that the minutes I received were actually the same minutes. They were the public record minutes, which contained a brief notation, again, as indicated in the report, of the fact that an executive session was held at all and a basis for it, and then a brief two-sentence summary of what was discussed. And I've already alluded to that in the report, as well as my presentation here. So the minutes that I received were not the minutes of the executive sessions. They were minutes of the public meetings, which noted that an executive session had taken place at each of those meetings. If this case moves to investigation, Commission staff would be able to gain more information on the matters discussed at each executive session to determine whether proper authority was cited for the session, whether matters beyond the scope of the authorization were discussed, and also to determine whether final decisions were made at the executive sessions outlined above in violation of ORS 192.660, subsection 6. The preliminary review is in your meeting book with a recommendation to move to investigation. Thank you.
Thank you for that investigative report. Ms. Hungerford, this will be your opportunity to address the commission.
You might want to see if any, there are questions for the staff.
Any commissioners, any questions for the staff from commissioners before we have Ms. Hungerford begin? Seeing none?
Mr. Chair, just one quick clarification. Ms. Krista, thank you for that report. Can you summarize for me one more time what it is you're missing at the moment or don't have in the sense of the minutes that would help you make judgments on this case? And I appreciate your rendition of that, but it would help to have that repeated for me.
Sure, of course.
Thank you.
We need to see the minutes of the executive sessions themselves, because what we have right now are in the public minutes. There's a notation of a statutory basis and then a brief one or two sentence, this is what was discussed or what will be discussed in executive session. Without the actual executive session minutes, or if those aren't available, interviews with the participants, I don't know at this point and can't present to the commission what was discussed, so I don't know whether it comported. You know, as I noted in the original, one of the meetings, or excuse me, December 28th, 2020, and January 11th, 2021, they may have been discussing matters that comported completely with what was noted as the purpose of the meeting without the minutes, or again, if minutes aren't available, I'd need to talk to the participants. I don't know what was discussed in those meetings. So that's what I'm hoping to gain.
Thank you very much.
So I have a question for you. Are there recordings, or do we know that?
I haven't had a chance to. When I talked to Ms. Hungerford, she just indicated she would send me the minutes, so she and I never had that conversation. I honestly don't know if they were recorded or not. She said she'd send me the minutes, and then again, what was sent were public records.
Right.
So it might have just been a miscommunication, but I don't know if they were recorded.
That's why I assumed that, you know, we going into you know, an investigative process so that we would get access to a recording, just assuming there was one. So thank you for clarifying. Thank you for the question. Commissioner Fiscom, any other questions for in the investigator? Seeing none, Ms. Hungerford, this is your opportunity to address the commission.
Thank you. And I want to say, first of all, to the commission members, I appreciate your service. I know that you spend many, many hours in a position that is, to my knowledge, not paid. And so we know that you really put your time in. I'm here speaking on behalf of the board members of Oak Ridge School District. And like you, they spend many, many hours a year to direct the education for about 500 students. Oak Ridge has been identified as the fifth poorest school district in the United States. And this is a district that did a tremendous job during the COVID to feed the entire community, frankly, as well as provide education. But the board members are very serious about meeting the requirements of the law regarding the public meetings. And in the minutes that we have supplied, I think you would note that on January 4th, 2021, they had a work session, a training session with the Oregon School Board's Association staff specifically to talk about how they receive input from the community and how they process complaints. So I would note that these are people who are interested and very definitely want to follow the law. But it's also a district that has very little in the way of staff. And they were dealing with a situation where the retirement of their previous board secretary, another person came in as an interim, did not work out, and then the new person was hired in December or late November of 2020. So these board meetings are the first time that person was involved in keeping minutes. The minutes that you see here are all there are, but they do record the summary of the topic that was discussed at each of these sessions. And I note that your staff has said that at least as far as the December 28th session and the January 11th session, that it appears that the conversation appears to comport with the outline of what was discussed at those sessions. So as far as the jurisdiction of your body is to determine whether the school district is properly hosting and operating under those executive session provisions. So let me take up each of these meetings at a time, because I believe that you have all the information that you need to make a decision today and do not need to have further investigation. They do not record their meetings in this district, and there is no requirement that meeting be recorded. What is required according to the law is that there be a indication of the topic that was covered in the meeting and the subsection that was it was called under. So if we look at December 14th, that meeting, the executive session, the minutes of it are contained within the regular session minutes. They now are separating those out. That's the way they were doing it then. It says that it was called for the purpose of deliberations designed to carry on labor negotiations. I am one of those people, two board members are among the people who were on the bargaining team. So the discussion was under that piece. There is a note here that I made a statement about the complaints that had been received. That statement was simply a reminder to the board that they could not discuss it at the executive session, that they had to go into an open session. And you will note that when the agenda item, when they got into open session, an agenda item was added at that point so that they would take action in the open session. Then a motion was made to hire, and they did hire and authorize that in open session, Rob Saxton of RS2 Education Consulting to conduct the investigation. So that's what happened on December 11th. I do not believe there were any violations. Frankly, for me to speak up and say, you better do this in an open session, was the end of what we were talking about. They did take an action. It was an open session. The investigation took a considerable amount of time. Ultimately, the board provided copies of the investigation report to the public, and at their March meeting, they had an open session in which people were able to comment on it. Board members commented and discussed the investigation report. So that's the answer on the December 11th one, which is that essentially there are no further minutes of that, and we wanted to be recording. But what was discussed at that meeting was underneath subsection 1D having to do with negotiations. On the December 11th meeting, that one was December 28th meeting. That was a work session, still under the same rules. An executive session was called under 192.662D to conduct deliberations about labor negotiations. And there's a specific notation there that discussions was held regarding the employee retirement memorandum of agreement that had been presented by the org and the Teachers Association. The group prepared a counter proposal. And as you know, with negotiations, the board may have those executive session discussions. Ultimately, they vote on that MOA, and there is evidence that they voted on it at a subsequent board meeting. They voted after they had reached agreement with the association on that matter. So that was strictly under 1D, which was posted. And as I said, your staff said that it appeared that what happened appeared to comport with the outline of what was discussed at that session. And then likewise, with the January meeting, and we're looking at the January 11th meeting, there was that January 4th meeting where there was a training with the School Board Association, but on the January 11th meeting, what was posted there was to hear complaints, it's under 1I, and that includes the word complaints. The board heard complaints and reviewed complaints that were in writing at that session. They did not take any action on it. They had an investigation that was going on, and they took no action on that, any manner of any of these complaints until they got the report from the investigator, and then at the March meeting had an open session discussion. And that's all in the minutes that your staff has received. I think there was a very reasonable assumption that there were executive session minutes other than the ones we provided, but there were not. And that, I think, is due to the fact that the secretary who was doing that, who has many other jobs in the district, was brand new, and she thought that she was providing enough detail about the topics that were being discussed. And I would agree with that, because there is no specific provision in the executive session or in the law that requires a detailed accounting of every person who spoke to this or that. It is, because it's an executive session, there are many things that are confidential when it comes to complaints. So those are the three meetings that are at issue. And I believe that the evidence that you currently have allows you to make a decision that no further investigation is needed and that this complaint will be dismissed. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hungerford. We're going to go to our Executive Director, Ron Burson.
I just have a clarifying point for you, Ms. Hungerford. You talked about the December 11th meeting. Did you mean the December 14th meeting?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Commissioner O'Day.
Thank you. First, a question for staff. So, assuming, as I think there is, we don't have our public meetings laws here, that there is a statutory standard for minutes for all public meetings, whether it's executive session or public, would the commission have jurisdiction to address that issue? Is that within the scope of the commission's review, or are we only limited to whether or not the topics discussed in executive session were eligible for executive session and properly noticed?
Yeah, we do not have authority over the quality of minutes.
But
the public meeting laws do say that an executive session will either be written or recorded minutes. And so, you know, I know Ms. Hungerford keeps saying that you have everything you need, but just this kind of cursory one-sentence overview that we held one, I don't think meets that standard, but that is not part of our purview. So I think, as Ms. Christian said at the beginning of this, as we go into investigation, we're going to have some interviews with people inside of the actual meeting to find out what went on. And, you know, if I was given this group training, I would say make sure you start recording your minutes, because this is exactly what, you know, will kind of save you in the end, because you'll know exactly what you did talk about. And I'm not a big fan of you know, not doing either detailed minutes or having a recording in executive session. As far as the confidentiality goes, there are provisions in the public records laws that can keep that exempt, even if the commission it looks at it. So even if the file becomes public, we can actually keep the recorded minutes that are within scope confidential.
Yeah, if I could just elaborate, Ms. Hungerford, I'm a former local government attorney, and so have intimate knowledge of the public meetings laws, and there are standards, statutory standards, that require written minutes or recording of an executive session, and specifically prescribe what the contents of those minutes should be, to include those who are present, the subject of any discussion. A cursory, this document was discussed, at least in this lawyer's legal opinion, would be insufficient to meet that statutory standard. And because there are no minutes really here, I think this case should move forward to investigation for that reason.
Thank you, Commissioner O'Day. Commissioner Fiscom.
Mr. Chair, I have a quick follow-up question to Mr. Burson. Even though the Ethics Commission statutory responsibilities do not include the review of or the standards for actual minutes, is it not true that our staff reviews those minutes in the conduct of making its own decisions about whether what we are responsible for under executive session has been met by local governments, local jurisdictions? In other words, we look at that stuff even though we don't have the statutory responsibility, because that's part of what we do to exercise our responsibility, if I'm saying that right.
It's standard practice for the commission investigators to request either the written or the recorded minutes of executive session, and it does become part, usually the investigation, because of our 30-day time period, sometimes we don't always get those during the during the preliminary review. But, and that's why I kind of alluded to, you know, I would, if I was training anybody in executive session, I would say either take very detailed minutes or actually record them, because, like I said, if questions come up later on what was actually spoken, you have the recordings, just like we have the recordings here today, and you can answer those questions specifically. As far as the confidentiality of those recordings, this commission has the ability to keep those records confidential. Like I said, if they were within scope, but as you know, an executive session that was held outside of scope, outside of a purpose that's allowed, that does not stay confidential. So,
thank you.
Like I said.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiscom. Do we have any other questions for Ms. Hungerford from commissioners? Seeing none, do we have any discussion going forward? I'm seeing none.
Need a motion.
I almost want to lean on Commissioner O'Day, since he intended to support the staff recommendation.
Yes, I'm happy to, Mr. Chair. I would move that the commission direct staff to investigate possible violations of ORS 192.660 in the matter of John Weddle, case number 21-075 XLC.
Thank you, Commissioner O'Day. Do we have any discussion on the motion? And seeing none, a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay? Ah.
That was a nice
aye. Okay.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next case with this grouping. Number 90, Susan Hardy. Staff report is the same.
Is the same.
If we can get a motion.
Assuming there are no questions of staff, I would move that the commission direct staff to investigate possible violations of ORS 192.660 in the matter of Susan Hardy, case number 21-076 XLC.
Thank you, Commissioner O'Day. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Next case is number 91 in your meeting book, Tammy Edmonds. With the same state of facts. Any discussion or questions? If we can get a motion.
Seeing none, Mr. Chair, I would move that the commission direct staff to investigate possible violations of ORS 192.660 in the matter of Tammy Edmonds, case number 21-077 XLC.
Thank you, Commissioner O'Day. And any discussion on motion? Seeing none, a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Let's see, Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Number 92, case of Kevin Martin, same state, set of facts. Any questions for the investigator? Seeing none?
Mr. Chair, I would move that the commission direct staff to investigate possible violations of ORS 192.660 in the matter of Kevin Martin, case number 21-078 XLC.
Thank you, Commissioner O'Day. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
And the final in this grouping, number 93, McPherson, same set of facts. Any questions for the investigator before we move forward? Seeing none?
Mr. Chair, I would move that the council direct staff to investigate possible violations of ORS 192.660 in the matter of Michael, my apologies for any mispronunciation, McPherson, case number 21-079 XLC.
Thank you, Commissioner O'Day. Any discussion on the motion? And seeing none, roll call vote.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you, Ms. Hungerford. We will be in touch. Appreciate it.
If I may have one clarification,
yep.
I understand, and my understanding of the law is the same as yours, that no part of this decision by your group would reach the adequacy of the minutes, that's outside of your group.
That's correct.
That is correct.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll be very happy to cooperate with your investigative staff. Thank you.
Okay, we will move on to,
make sure that
unknown participant is now exiting.
Okay.
Unknown participant is now exiting. Unknown participant is now exiting. Unknown participant is now exiting.
We should have.
Appreciate you guys interrupting.
What is the statute for executive session jurisdiction?
Media. And we'll let the next.
Commissioner Mason, 95
has been waiting a very long time.
Yep, so we will move on to 95.
Let me in right now.
Okay, we'll move on to number 95 in your meeting.
Unknown participant is now joining.
And he is properly identified.
I'm going to need to step away for 2 minutes, and I'll be back.
Okay. Oh. Thank you, Commissioner Hollister.
Me too.
Chair, what number are we on now?
We are on number 95, case of Vlad Solnes, teacher and coach, Washington County School District, Beaverton.
Thank you.
If we can get a start with the staff report.
Okay. Chair Mason, Commissioners, this is Diane Gould for the Government Ethics Commission. A complaint was received alleging that Mr. Ladd Solness, a teacher and volleyball coach at Sunset High School, may have used his official position to advance the financial interests of his private business. Mr. Solness is the volleyball coach for Sunset High from August to November, and in the off-season, he operates the ABC Apollo Volleyball Club, which is a private pay volleyball club for high school girls. Mr. Solness was the subject of a complaint in 2018 that was one of three complaints filed by a single individual against three different volleyball coaches in the Beaverton School District who all ran private volleyball clubs in the off-season. Those complaints alleged that the public officials were using the school district's resources for their private off-season club. The commission dismissed all of those complaints at the end of preliminary review, including the one against Mr. Solness. This new complaint is from the parent of a volleyball player who attended Sunset High during that same period, and this complaint against Mr. Solness alleged that he used the Sunset gym for his private club and he used his access to Sunset students to pressure them to enroll in his private volleyball club. ORS 244.260 Section 5 states that after dismissal, the commission may not take further action involving the person unless a new and different complaint is filed. This case was opened because it was a new and different complainant, and this was a mother who alleged that Mr. Solness used his position at Sunset High to pressure her daughter to attend his private volleyball club and that she had evidence of the same. During the preliminary review period, the complainant, however, chose not to be interviewed and failed to provide the text messages, emails, and other information she originally said she had available. Information available during preliminary review shows that the camp that she complained about held at Sunset Gym in the summer was a one-week Sunset High School camp for middle school and high school students at a cost of $100 payable to Sunset High, which went to the Beaverton School District. These camps are an annual fundraiser for Sunset's volleyball program, and the proceeds are used to pay for the volleyball team expenses throughout the season. As opposed to that, Mr. Solness's private volleyball club rents space at a separate school for its practices and events. No available information indicates that Mr. Solness used Sunset High's resources to solicit, promote, or pressure students to join his private for-pay volleyball club. Therefore, it does not appear to be of sufficient information to warrant further investigation, and the report's in your meeting books with a recommendation to dismiss.
Thank you for that report. Any questions from commissioners to staff?
Mr. Chair, just a quick question, Ms. Gould. I'm read again for another time the passage on page 502 of the report, quoting the complainant, I guess. Do you have any, have you made any, I'm not sure whether this commission has any jurisdiction over these facts, alleged facts cited here. Do you have any reaction to these comments? did your preliminary review just come up with any reaction to these comments on
well,
or not?
Well, I spoke to the respondent. I corresponded with the complainant several times, and we had an interview scheduled, and she canceled it, and then she emailed and asked me about questions about anonymity. Although she said that her daughter had transferred out of Sunset after the first year and went to another school, so she wasn't involved. But then she said she didn't have any of the material that she said she had either to provide me. So we corresponded several times back and forth. So.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiscom. Any other questions? Okay. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I would move that we accept the staff recommendation to dismiss the complaint involving Mr. Ladd Solness from Washington County School District 48J, number 21-082EDG, on our June 11th agenda. Thank you,
Commissioner Fiscom. Any conversation on the motion? Seeing none, a roll call vote, please. Oh, do we?
Is he present?
Yeah, that's why. He was before us before.
So I'm going? Okay. Yep. Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiscom?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Was that first one a question?
When I was
Commissioner Starr?
I thought Ladd was going to present and he didn't, so then I was like, are we pausing? And
well, that's,
he just gave his own word.
Did you guys hear here at all or not?
Well, we just dismissed
Mr. Solness, we dismissed the complaint based on the investigative report, and so on my judgment, I just moved forward with the roll call vote. So my apologies if I did not give you the opportunity to present, but it did move in your favor.
I had a nice little, less than 2 minute little speech prepared.
It must have been so good it convinced us to dismiss the complaint prior to you even speaking. So congratulations, and thank you for your time.
I do have one more question for you.
Sure.
This is the second time I've been before you guys. You guys are all really nice. I really would like to stop meeting like this, though. is there any chance that I'm going, double jeopardy or in this case, triple jeopardy? Am I going to come back? Do you have any advice on that or thoughts?
The only way another complaint would be opened up, sir, is if a separate complaint was filed that had new and different information. So if in 2021 you did something that, like they had alleged, we would have to look into it. But underneath the same circumstances and the same group of facts, no, we will not open up another complaint.
Perfect, thank you. And my speech was really good. I had apples and oranges in it.
As every teacher should.
Well, you guys, I wanted to also take a quick moment and say thank you to the commission and the professionalism, especially and Diane, always answering my questions, even though sometimes I have multiple or repeat the same question. And also I wanted to extend my thanks to you as a commission executive board. What I've learned in the last few years is that every voice is important, whether it be the respondent or the committee. Everybody needs to be heard, and so I appreciate what you guys do and how you go about it. And I just wanted to say thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Solness. We appreciate that. You have a good weekend.
All right. Thank you, guys. Bye.